Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is February 21st, 2020. And welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined today by Jeff Rosinski, Consultant to the Stars. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Mike. Nice to be with you. Every time you call me a consultant to the stars, though, it makes me feel like Zoltar, and I should be like handing out fortunes in the glass box or something.
Well, you are going to give fortunes today. You know that, right? Fortunes in cocoa and chocolate, because that is what we're going to talk about today. I mean, the market is absolutely nuts, as it usually is, and so you're going to give us some insight. But before we get there, speaking of fortunes, I want you to give me your prediction on the Saturday night boxing match, because I know you're such a big boxing fan, between Wilder and Fury. This is the second match. Both fighters are undefeated in their records. One of them's 29-0-1, and the other's 42-0-1, heavyweights. And their only blemish on their record is the previous fight that they fought together, and they had a draw. So who's going to win, Fury or Wilder?
You know, I don't know if I have a favorite. I'll say it's going to go all rounds in a split decision.
Ah, there you go. Are you going to call a winner?
I'm not. I'm just going to say split decision. And who do you like, Mike?
I'm going to go Wilder just because I think Fury's a bit overweight and be slow. And Wilder's the younger but more aggressive fighter. So I'll go there.
Does he get the knockout, or is it going to go all the rounds to the judges?
He'll get the knockout.
Oh, there you go.
I'm not going to call the round, but he'll get the knockout. So, but for the listeners, Jeff is really not a big boxing fan. So that is kind of unfair.
I did watch the Rocky Balboa movie the other night, though. So
Okay. So you're pumped. You're going to watch it now.
Exactly.
From the Sweetener Colloquium, which will be at this weekend. So. But let's shift over to cocoa. Speaking of things that are very unpredictable and a little bit crazy, I thought today we'd talk about the cocoa market. We've seen a drastic increase in futures over the last few months, a move of over about 20%. So maybe you could give our listeners kind of what's happening in futures, what's happening in the market, and what to expect moving forward.
Well, I'll do my best here, Mike. We're on the eve of the colloquium, as you said, so my mind's been certainly focused on sugar, but being a soft commodity, you're right, the softs have been the star performer so far in 2020. Both world sugar and cocoa have been rallying like crazy with a lot of spec involvement, and I believe we were up about 15% in terms of the nearby cocoa contract. We've gone from 2,500 up to 2,850 to 2,900, and we're right in the middle of the roll from March to May with a lot of fund involvement.
Okay, and so we have the specs in there. There's some reports coming out of West Africa, which, for those that don't know, most of the production comes out of West Africa and Ivory Coast and Ghana. What's happening with the situation over there? Is there some cause for concern?
Well, Mike, good question. I would say season to date, there's really not too many concerns because the arrivals or the main crop flow are pretty much on pace or on par with where they were last year.
Okay.
And last year, if you've joined us for any past either webinars or podcasts, was a record or bumper year out of West Africa. So it looked pretty good. So we're at about 1.5 million for Ivory Coast. I think the big question or the concern has been around the dry season with the Harmattan. Conditions have been dry. They have been hot. And I think there are some genuine concerns on people's minds concerning the mid-crop. So we're in that time of the year right now where we get a pause between the main crop and the mid-crop. We'll be starting the mid-crop soon in the month of March.
Okay.
And the big question is around whether this hot, dry weather has damaged the crop on the trees for the mid-crop.
Okay. And you mentioned the Hardiman winds. I have two questions. One, what is it for those listeners that may not know? And second, have you been involved in one of these wind storms?
I have not been in one of these windstorms, but it has to do with the seasonal change that occurs around that belt of the equator.
Okay.
And these cocoa growing countries like Ivory Coast or Ghana are just, south of the Sahara. And you get these, these winds that kind of blow down from the sub-Saharan desert areas. So it's basically just the, you know, the dry season that is an interlude between the main and the mid crops.
So from a protection standpoint, do you feel that will be similar to year on year in the Ivory Coast, or when we compare the numbers, or is this an area that you think people should watch?
Well, I think if you go back to the start of the season, Mike, most analysts, in my opinion, or estimation anyway, were probably overestimating the size of the crops, but at the same time, they were overestimating grind earlier in the season, going back to September, October timeframe. So to an extent, I think they could be mitigating factors.
Okay.
Certainly the main crop is the more important of the two. And if there's really not much to complain about there, and you take a look now and say the concerns are around the number of flowers in the trees, or the shirelles, the small pods that have set for the upcoming mid-crop, and whether the survival will be a lighter than normal, and if the crop might be a little bit below expectations. I don't think it's going to amount to a huge deficit that would warrant the price action that we're seeing now with having moved up to 2,900.
Okay. And so that's as far as production. As far as the cocoa futures, we mentioned you've had this drastic increase. What is your expectation moving forward? I think I was seeing in the 2900s when we were in the 2400s for quite some time, that little range, and kind of broken out of that. What do you expect from futures moving forward?
Yeah, I think we're currently overvalued. We've moved up quite sharply on a lot of fund activity. I was looking at the size of the speculators, and we're now just north of 88,000 net long contracts for the large specs, as reported by CFTC. I went back in the historical records. The last time they were this long was the summer of 2014.
Okay.
So it's been a good 6 years since they've held an accumulated position as big as they are right now. So I think to an extent, what we're seeing a little bit right now is a bit of a spec bubble on anticipation of what might amount to a smaller mid-crop. But I think at the same time, people have overestimated grind because the fourth quarter grinds came out around, you know, third week of January. They were, I would say, less than inspiring. And I think this year we'll be hard pressed to see grinds up more than, you know, 2.5% year on year. And I think a lot of people have got a much higher number plugged in there. So as they revise their grind numbers down, I think once we get the Q1 numbers in, which they won't be in until third, fourth week of April. I think once that's known and we start heading into the mid crop, then we'll have a better idea of, you know, precisely where prices are going. But I would call them definitely overvalued at current levels.
Okay. And how does that, if these prices are way up here, how does that really impact the chocolate industry? I mean, if these are sustained for whatever reason for a long period of time, I mean, does that ultimately translate to higher chocolate bar prices for me when I go to that store and buy them for Nate and Stella?
Yeah, it certainly translates to higher bean costs, so bean origination costs. So you've got a higher futures market, and we've got elevated differentials. Specifically, they've been impacted by the LID, the living income differential that we've talked about previously in previous calls, as well as the webinar. So I think bean origination and costs have risen, and I think that has undermined the margins of the cocoa processing industry specifically. So I think that's how that's going to play out or impact the cocoa processing segment. In terms of the branded companies, the CPGs out there, it's definitely going to lead to higher costs, and I think a lot of the big branded companies are, you know, have recently gone through a round of price increases, and I think they may be contemplating doing that again as long as we've got elevated prices. I mean, if you look at all the raw material costs that go into a typical chocolate bar, you've got cocoa, you've got, you know, butter, cocoa butter, you've got, you know, dairy in terms of, you know, non-fat dry milk, whole milk powder, and you've got sugar prices. All of those have moved up, and so I think they're feeling the pressure right now from a raw material costing standpoint.
Well, certainly we know from a sugar standpoint the challenges. So yeah, increased cost, that certainly puts pressure on that market. Two other things before I let you go, Jeff. One, what is your opinion on this LID? I hear various stories of what may or may not happen. Do you have any opinion on that moving forward?
Yeah, that living income differential seems to have been just absorbed into that base differential. So when getting a quote for, you know, forward bean deliveries, you're quoted a differential and it's inclusive of the lid. So it's hard to kind of separate, you know, the baby from the bathwater, if you will, in terms of what portion of the differential that you're paying for forward beans is, you know, apportioned out for the living income differential versus that base historic differential. But what we've seen is the two kind of coming together, if you will.
Okay. And my last question, before we start heading out to the colloquium, would be, you know, you're hearing these reports of these petitions from the NGO to Customs Border and Protection to suspend imports of cocoa from the Ivory Coast because of child labor concerns. What is going on there and what do you think might happen?
Yeah, so in the last week or so, we've had another NGO come forward, and they've been kind of petitioning customs at this point to suspend imports of cocoa, specifically from Ivory Coast, related to some of these worst cases of forced child labor in the industry, and, you know, putting the responsibility on the shippers or the importers of record to demonstrate that they've made some changes to address some of the, you know, the worst practices that I've mentioned. Whether or not Congress actually takes that up right now as a primary issue with customs to do something about, I think remains to be seen as we heat up with this election year and with coronavirus. Certainly, I think those are grabbing the headlines these days. And, you know, although this did come out in an article about a week ago, it's probably not being talked about with the same amount of attention as some of the other issues that I just mentioned.
Gotcha. Okay. And for those listeners, great recap, Jeff. And for those listeners that really want to understand more in depth about, you know, where commercial pricing might be, forward coverage, and a strategy moving forward in this volatile market, reach out, give us a call, and we can get a little bit more in detail with you about the cocoa market, et cetera. But Jeff, great recap. And, you know, let's do some shameless promotion of our spring seminar that has limited seating on April 29th, Food X.0, the revolution of food. Jeff will be there speaking on cocoa and chocolate. So those that have gone in the past and seen a great presentation by him, I will say that, you know, a lot of his predictions happen. And I like to tell Jeff that, and then he blushes and he's like, yeah, it does happen. So a very informative man that can give you a really good direction. Are you blushing, Jeff?
I'm blushing. Well, if they don't want to come to hear me speak, we're going to be doing a chocolate tasting in parallel to the conversation.
Ah,
so you can tune me out and just try some very interesting samples of chocolate if you'd prefer to do that.
Sounds great.
And speaking of shameless promotion, our blog this week up on the IQ platform will be related to the speculator position in cocoa. So if you want to go a little bit more in depth on that, you'll find that on the IQ platform this week.
Excellent. Great promotion for the IQ platform. If you're not on the IQ platform, reach out to us. If you want to register for that spring seminar on April 29th in Oak Brook, Illinois, you can simply go on to our website at mckinney-favel.com and there'll be easy instructions on registering. Seats are limited, so please register now. And Jeff, I will see you in sunny Palm Springs tomorrow.
Yeah, great speaking to you over the phone, and I'll see you in person in about a day.
Excellent. Well, as I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every moment that you have with your friends and family. Don't take it for granted. And until next time, take care, everybody.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye now.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favel's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favel.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.